You're listening to WKGN AM 1340 Knoxville, FM 101.5 West Knox, and streaming online at foxsportsknoxville.com. Fan Run Radio.
Somebody asked me this morning, what was the one thing that helped sway my opinion and helped me decide? Well, there wasn't one thing. It was just like when I signed here. It was just sort of a feeling. I made up my mind, and I don't expect to ever look back.
Talk Sports is the best radio show in Knoxville. This segment of the show brought to you by our friends at Toyota Knoxville. Poll question up right now on Fox Sports Knox's Twitter account. What constitutes a successful Tennessee basketball season? And I hope I use constitutes correctly there. God, I hope I used that right. Make the NCAA tournament, win a tournament game, Sweet 16, top four in the SEC. That's up on Fox Sports Knox. That's our Toyota Knoxville poll question. If you've got a tax refund, Toyota Knoxville will help you double that tax refund towards the purchase of a new Toyota. And you'll receive Toyota Knoxville's lifetime warranty at no charge, a non-factory limited powertrain warranty at participating dealers with unlimited miles. Go see our friends at Toyota Knoxville. Double that tax return. Put it to good use and put it towards a new Toyota vehicle, and give them a follow on Twitter at Toyota Knoxville. They're always doing giveaways. Right now they are giving, it's week three of their giveaway for the TriStar Classic. Retweet and follow Toyota Knoxville for a chance to win. Winner will be drawn on the 24th. You win two all-you-can-eat tickets to the TriStar Classic, which will have Tennessee, Memphis, ETSU, and MTSU playing baseball.
Constitute as a verb means to be a part of a whole. Synonyms include amount to, add up to.
Nice.
Account for.
I did it.
You got it right.
I did it.
You got it.
Constitutes, used correctly. So how do you vote on this poll question, Cody? Before we get to more headlines, how would you vote on this poll question? What constitutes a successful Tennessee basketball season? Make the NCAA tournament, win a tournament game, make the Sweet 16, or top four in the SEC?
What constitute a successful season?
Yeah, for Tennessee basketball.
I'm going to say make the tournament. When you look at the fact that Tennessee has not done that since Konzo's last year, and you look at the fact that they rarely did that before Bruce Pearl, a tournament year is a good year for Tennessee. Now, look, I'm not saying we shouldn't raise our standards. I'm not saying we shouldn't.
So you're not saying that it's locked in for the foreseeable future that the tournament is only Tennessee's goal?
Right.
So like next year when Tennessee basically returns every contributor except James Daniel III, your expectation won't be just make the tournament?
Next year the expectation will be much higher.
Breaking news. Tennessee drops one spot in the AP top 25, only down to 19.
Not bad.
Kind of surprising.
I was wondering when that was going to come through.
Kind of surprising that they only dropped one spot.
Yeah, I do think, you know, it doesn't have to be a year-to-year basis. Like, if you had asked me my goal this year, I'd say get to the tournament. If you ask me next year, I would have told you last year that I think next year should be at least a Sweet 16 team. So, like, you know, it's okay for it to change on a yearly basis. I just think, in general, for what Tennessee is as a basketball program, just get me to the tournament and see what happens.
Well, we have the poll question up right now. Just put it up. 5 minutes ago, we have 177 votes. 55% of the people, they say Sweet 16. And admittedly, Cody, that's been skewed by Tennessee stretch where they won, what, 9 of 10 games? 10 of 11 games, whatever it was, 9 of 10. That probably skewed the expectations, because if you ask before the beginning of the year, no one says Sweet 16 or bust in terms of success, correct?
Right. Yeah, the standard has been raised a bit.
I was pretty consistent with mine, though, Cody. I said get to the tournament, win a game.
Yeah, I remember before the season, that's what you said.
I said get to the tournament, win a game. And I do think Sweet 16 obviously became a lot more of the floor whenever you are being projected as maybe getting the last one seed. But I'll look back right now. Here we are, February 19th. My new goal for this season being a success is get to the round of 32. Now, I still want the Sweet 16, don't get me wrong. I'll still be disappointed if Tennessee doesn't get there in the immediate aftermath, but I'll stop. I'll be able to step back and say, you know what? That was a pretty successful year. If Tennessee wins one game in the tournament, if they get to the tournament and lose, I'm going to have worries and questions about Rick Barnes. I just will, because 21 of 22 in his NCAA career and making the round of 32 three times in a decade, that will be a troubling trend for me, because this team should at least win a game in the tournament. With this roster, with the seed they're going to get, they're going to be favored. Tennessee should win one game in the tournament, and if they don't, I'm going to look at it and I'm going to say Rick Barnes is doing the same thing that got him fired at Texas. Because he only won one tournament game since 2011. Like, starting in the 11 and 12 season, he's won one tournament game. Konzo Martin's won three.
When you look at it like that, I mean, yes, that is a fact.
Mm-hmm.
But Konzo Martin won a play-in game against Iowa.
Yeah.
He beat Mercer and he beat UMass, right?
Perfectly true.
I mean, with Rick Barnes, does it sound too mediocre for me to say, like, if they don't win a tournament game, then just basically, like, sometimes you don't? Like, I mean, what if they face one of these really hot teams out of the Missouri Valley or something like that? I know they're good enough that they should win a game.
It's a small sample size. I get it. It's do or die. It's one and done. Is it fair to judge a whole season based off one game? I get all that, Cody. But like I'm saying, when you combine it, I'm not looking at his tenure here at Tennessee. I'm looking at his last decade as a head coach.
Sure.
And somebody being on the downside of their career that got fired from Texas, and the running joke nationally was one of the, you know, before Tennessee hired Rick Barnes, and one of the main reasons I did not like the Rick Barnes hire was whenever I fill out my bracket every year, I have three rules. And two of them were trust Tom Izzo. Right. Every year when you fill out your bracket, you should put Michigan State in at least the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
You just should. I know they lost to MTSU a couple years ago. That's fine. It's a
They look good.
Put Tom Izzo in the Final Four. Put Rick Barnes getting knocked out early. Like, that was one of the running jokes. He's built the program up. It's in a better place than when he took over. No one questions that. He's done a good job. It's still going to be a real measuring stick moment for him in his career and him in his tenure here at Tennessee. It just is for me. And it might not be fair, and I get if it's not fair. But you got to do something in the tournament, Rick. You do. Just win one game. I'm not saying go deep. Win one game. Win one. Just give me one. You've won one since 2011.
Give me one in Knoxville.
Give me one here. And then everybody will be fine. You can lose in the second round to a four or to a five seed or a six seed, and it won't be the end of the world. Everyone will still be really excited for next year's team. But if you go one and done as a favorite,
well, and that's—I was going to say—that's the other side of this. If you do lose in the first round this year, it's not like you're going to be an eight losing to a nine.
Yeah,
you'd be a four losing to Buffalo.
Yeah,
or Vermont.
No, exactly.
So,
and that does raise the expectations.
Yeah, yeah.
Like an 8-9 matchup, like that. The year Bruce did lose was the year that they were at eight. It was an 8-9. It was an 8-9 matchup. I don't know which side Tennessee was on, but like, okay, it wasn't like you dropped the ball and you had a big upset and you know you were primed for a big run. That was a team that struggled.
Yeah. So when you think about it in those terms, I would agree. You know, this year they need to win a tournament game, for sure.
That segment was brought to you by Toyota Knoxville. Go retweet and follow their Twitter account for chances to win tickets to the TriStar Classic. Tennessee baseball did start this week.
Yeah.
Went 1-2 over the weekend.
I forgot about them in the update.
Got a win in game three of their opening series against Maryland. Going to be a long season like it always is with Tennessee baseball. But you can go enjoy some baseball thanks to Toyota Knoxville. Go follow them and retweet their post. We'll come back on the other side with some headlines.
Oh. We'll be right back.
on my way from L.A. back to Knoxville. I found out those bright lights ain't where I belong.
Back on the program, let's kick it over to Dave McClure for some headlines.
Thanks, John. Dave is out today.
Your beef with Dave never ceases to amaze me.
Dave gets on my nerves. Austin Dillon, who we mentioned at the top of the show, he won the Daytona 500 yesterday. And apparently he celebrated by getting a tattoo on his butt that said champion. Or champ. Apparently it was a joke with him and some of his crew members. They celebrated the victory by getting tattoos on all their butts.
So, like, was that like him trying to entice and motivate his crew members to perform well?
I don't know.
Because if I'm him, I'm like, and maybe that's the thought of a NASCAR driver, I don't know. But if it's me, I would look at it as I kind of carried the team. You guys should get these tattoos.
Well, apparently they all got them.
Oh, okay, they all got them. Okay, that's a little bit different.
Well, him and some of his crew members, so not everyone.
Okay, so that's a little bit different.
It included.
Well, I was watching an episode of The Office over the weekend that it was after Michael Scott left and Andy Bernard was, you know, the manager,
mm-hmm.
and like he was trying to motivate the guys in the office to be as productive as ever and get these points. He's like, if you guys get so many points, I'll get a tattoo on my butt.
Yeah.
So like that was kind of their reward for working well.
Yeah.
But, like, if it's just something to commemorate, like, getting first place, then that's different.
That's basically what it was. It was just him and some crew members. It's the Daytona 500 logo with the word champ underneath it. He said, you'll never be able to see it. It's pretty cool looking today. My wife is the only one that will see it for a while. Well, that's too bad. We don't get to see Austin Dillon's ass tattoo.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
Once we officially become the number one show in the state, we'll get tattoos too.
Is cool the word for it?
I think it's cool. It'll be a cool thing to all look back on because winning the Daytona 500 is something that's going to matter forever.
Oh yeah, for a NASCAR driver, that's the biggest achievement you can have besides maybe winning a championship.
And I would honestly say it might be as big as winning the championship. I don't know. Like, I obviously don't make as much money, but like I feel like more people are aware every year of who wins the Daytona 500 versus who actually wins the title. Because by the time they actually give out the title,
nobody's watching anymore.
Nobody's watching anymore.
In November when they race at Homestead.
Right. Like, I was getting ready to say I couldn't tell you who won the last three or four championships, but then I realized I probably couldn't tell you who won the last three or four Daytona 500s either. So
yeah,
maybe that wouldn't be a good measuring stick.
I really want to get back into NASCAR. I haven't been interested in so long.
This is the year.
I always watch the 500, and I think this every year. I always think, I'm going to watch a lot this year.
You're just like
then I forget about it.
You're just like every person who watches playoff hockey, and they're like, I'm going to take the NHL more serious this regular season.
Yeah. That's pretty much how I am with all sports besides the college football, NFL, and college basketball. I really like college basketball. Devin McCourty said that Malcolm Butler knew he wasn't going to start in the Super Bowl. We all knew he wasn't starting all week. That wasn't a secret to the guys on the team, McCourty told NJ Advanced Media. That would be New Jersey. I don't know. Butler,
probably New Jersey Advanced because I think the McCourty guys are from Rutgers, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Butler's benching wasn't disciplinary, according to Belichick, after the Super Bowl, but nonetheless it sparked rumors that he addressed on social media. I'm glad you did that because I don't know where this story was going. What do you got?
Jeff Jarrett to be inducted into the 2018 WWE Hall of Fame.
Oh, well, that was...
It's kind of got a Nashville feel to it. He always had the guitar.
It's kind of underwhelming.
Double J. Just coming across.
It was worse than Buzz Killington. I thought it was going
to
be a...
Well, your Malcolm Butler story, I could tell, was floundering. I tried to save you. You could have just said thank you and kept going.
I appreciate you trying to save me, but with Jeff Jarrett, I mean...
That was really just a break for you to regroup and go to the next story.
Well, thank you. Roger Federer is number one in the world again. He overpowered Grigor Dimitrov to win his 97th career title.
How about that? That really does surprise me that Federer's back on top. Like, I thought he was done. Everyone thought he was done in, what, 2012? 2013?
He's like Tom Brady before Tom Brady.
He's like Tom Brady in a sport that, I guess, I was going to say it never has Tom Brady's, but I guess there was in football you don't really have Tom Brady's either, so like maybe not. Maybe it's maybe it is the same thing without the like fall from grace type of thing.
I think you got to be a lot more athletic too to do what Federer does.
I would say more athletic. You run a lot more. You got to stop and start a lot more. I'd probably say you're right. I'd give the odd to Roger Federer being more athletic than Tom Brady at the very least.
Yeah. Now, if Tom Brady was a cornerback or something like that.
Well, I got to thinking, like, is Aaron Rodgers more athletic than Roger Federer? Like, Aaron Rodgers is pretty good inside the pocket. Aaron Rodgers is pretty fast. Like, he has good footwork. He's quick. He plays the quarterback position more athletically than Tom Brady, obviously. But do you think Roger Federer is more athletic than Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Federer definitely. I think to play tennis, I think you got to be
especially
way more
at that level.
Yeah,
where you're number one.
I think you got to be way more athletic than you do to play quarterback.
I don't know. I think he's more athletic than Tom Brady.
Yeah,
I'm wondering if he's more athletic than Aaron Rodgers. I know he's not more athletic than Cam Newton.
Well,
he's not more athletic than Cam Newton.
Well, that depends on how we define athletic.
I think Cam Newton could go play other sports and be fine. I don't know if Roger Federer can do anything but play tennis. And I don't know if
he's
that's like
great agility.
I don't know if that's like the main tiebreaker, but to me, like when I think of athleticism, that matters a little bit. Like, could these guys do other things?
Yeah, he can run side to side really, really quickly.
Roger Federer would probably be a really good volleyball player too. Get the overhand serve. Probably got a pretty good spike.
He could probably play soccer.
No, I don't think he could play soccer. Cam Newton's more athletic than Roger Federer, in my opinion. I think Aaron Rodgers might be, too. I don't know. I'm thinking it through.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers is more athletic than Roger Federer. I'll give you Cam.
Yeah, maybe I'm giving too much credit for pocket presence.
Yeah. Kobe Bryant said a trade to the Bulls nearly happened before the Lakers sent Shaq to Miami.
That almost happened twice, I'm pretty sure. Like in 07, Kobe, you really forget that Kobe went on a – because, I mean, it's been romanticized, Laker for life, retire two numbers. But in 07, like he came out to the media and was just like, trade me now. I want to leave this franchise. I'm done with this franchise. We're not committed to winning. Trade me. And they thought he was going to go to the Bulls in 07 too, but instead they traded for Pau Gasol, which obviously worked out and got the Lakers two more championships. But 03, huh? Was it 03 before they traded? 03, 04 is when Shaq went to Miami, right? Was that in or was it 06?
I'm not sure.
I guess it was like 05, 06.
I don't remember.
05, 06, I believe, is when Shaq got traded to the Heat. It's Pistons 104, Spurs 105, and then, yeah, the Heat in 06.
Hmm.
But you got noted.
Atlanta native Christian Coleman. Who also has – are you a VFL?
No, he left the university.
He left the university?
Yeah, he left to go pro.
Fell if you haven't left?
That's a good question. I think you're just a Vol at that point.
I don't know.
But he left. He left early to go pro.
No.
Start getting paid. Said, I'm too fast to be running for free, yo.
Yeah, shows you what I know about track.
I'm not chasing college championships anymore. I want the big things.
I thought he was still in school.
I mean, he might be paying his way to school. He might be taking some classes, but he's not like on the track team and stuff anymore.
Yeah. Well, I knew he was doing pro stuff because he beat Usain Bolt last year.
Right.
But I didn't know. I thought for some reason he was still in. I don't know. Doesn't matter. He set the world record Sunday in the 60 meters at the USATF Indoor Championship in Albuquerque, New Mexico, with a time of 6.34 seconds. Coleman broke the record, which was previously 6.39 seconds, held by Maurice Green 2 decades ago. He ran the 60 meters in 6.34 seconds.
Yeah, like I don't know how relatively fast it is. I know the world record he broke stood for 20 years, so like I know it's a big deal. I've never even heard of the 60 meter sprint. I've heard of the 50, I think. don't know if I heard. No, they don't have a 50, I don't guess. I've heard of the 100 meter dash, obviously. And I knew the record there was like somewhere in the 9 second range.
Yeah.
And obviously, I know of the 200.
That seems so fast. I think it would take me 10 seconds to run 60 meters.
How many meters are in a yard?
They're about the same.
So it's a 60-yard dash in 60 seconds, basically?
In 6 seconds.
One second, 10 yards per second.
Is that right?
Yeah.
When you say about the same, is it like...
It's like, yeah, like a meter and like a yard. 3.2 yards,
okay.
Maybe.
So it's a little bit more than a yard.
Yeah.
A meter and a yard are about the same.
So 60 meters, probably, what, 68 yards, something like that, 65 yards? That's fast. That's fast. Yeah, he turned pro last summer. I've had a lot of time to think about it and discuss it with my family. It's the best decision for me. Yep. Say he was going to go pro.
Well,
he says he is going to continue to attend the University of Tennessee, though. So, yeah, he might still be in classes and doing something. But this was in July of 2017, so maybe at this point he's not. Maybe it was just the fall classes. I don't know. But he was just like, I'm not running for Tennessee anymore. So he was going to keep working with his same coach. So he's probably still probably even training at Tennessee, but was like, hey, I'm going to go make some money now. Because I'm the fastest man in the world.
Yeah, he's still really fast.
Fastest man in the world. Any other headlines?
That's all I got.
That's all you got?
That's it.
That's all I got, too. Other than a stacked Hall of Fame basketball class. But I was going to save that for Pump the Brakes or Keep Rolling.
I'd probably skip it if you want to say it now.
No, I'll leave it up to you. Let's talk sports on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Gackles.com.
Travis Cabbage tweets in that 60 meters is 65.6 yards. Cody, you said you could run 60 meters in 10 seconds. You think you could run 65.6 yards in 10 seconds?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident I could do that. When I ran a 5.5 40 as a 300-pounder, technically an athlete. I'm not an athlete anymore.
I was going to say, you've always talked about that you've gained weight since then.
Yeah, I'm definitely not an athlete. But, I mean, 10 seconds to run 65, I think I could do it.
I think I'm going to have to throw the flag on it. I don't think you could. I don't know if I could. I think I could do it in like a 9, maybe. I think we're going to get gassed after those first 40.
We're not going to get gassed.
I think we're going to be tired after sprinting the first 40.
That's not that far. The momentum's going to carry us through.
I don't believe in momentum. I don't know.
You think you could? You think you could beat me in 60 yards?
I think so. You think you could beat me in 60 yards?
I don't know. I've never seen you run.
I mean, I'm not like fast or anything. I think I'd win a race, though. Are you fast, Bentley?
This is turning into a race. I just want to see it out front. I'll go and stand 60 meters back.
That grass is so thick out there, though.
I'd want to race on concrete.
Yeah.
Or I'd
track
feel more,
or something.
I'd feel more comfortable on the road.
I'd get hit by a van.
they'll see us coming. they're not going to be caught by surprise of us running.
The driver would be terrified.
They think something's got to be wrong for these guys to be running. Why the hell are these guys sprinting? Zombie apocalypse is finally here. I'm not running in the grass, though, because there's too many holes, and I will blow my ligament out of my foot. I got a bad foot.
End up like the dude from Auburn.
Yeah.
The ripped out, rip your
ankle. I got a bad foot. I can't risk even stepping in a hole. My right foot will go. Concrete, I'll be fine. I can't risk stepping into a pothole. That's why whenever we throw football outside, you've only seen me at a jog when I'm running my controlled route.
Well, of course.
No, yeah. I'm not saying I'm fast. I think I would win the race between us three, though. That's right. You too, Ben Lee. 21-year-old Ben Lee, I think I would finish in first place.
I think I could take you guys.
I don't know, man.
Once you get started, you're all right?
I got some momentum that'll carry me.
Yeah, once you get started?
I think I'm naturally fast.
You think you're naturally fast?
I got a lot of weight on me, obviously. Yeah. But if I didn't have the weight, I think I'm genetically programmed to be fast. Because I have short legs, mm-hmm. Which doesn't help, I don't think. So I don't know where I'm going.
I don't know
with
if you're genetically programmed to be fast. You're naturally fast. You can't, I don't know if I'm buying this.
I'm telling you, I used to be really fast. I used to beat our wide receivers as a lineman.
Was your football team good?
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you guys a ground and pound team? Were you like Georgia Tech out there?
Kind of.
If you're outrunning your receivers, I don't know if you had any receivers that are getting separation.
We didn't have a lot of speed.
If you're outrunning your receivers at 5'5", I don't know if that's good for the future of your Arkansas program down there.
No, I mean, when I was like 280, I was fast. 260, 280. Once I hit 3 clucks, I lost a lot of speed over the years.
Well, you're saying you've gained weight since then, though. So like,
right. So I'm saying, like, I think
you're romanticizing your speed at this point.
Well, no, if I was 18, there's no doubt I could do 65 yards in 10 seconds.
Yeah, at 18, you probably would be faster than me.
Now I think it would be tough. But I think I could do it 10 seconds.
65 yards. I feel like the seconds go by pretty quickly. I don't think you're running a 40-yard dash in anywhere close to 5.5 seconds anymore.
If I ran a 40-yard dash right now, I'd probably do it in 7. I could probably run it in 7 seconds.
So you're leaving yourself 3 seconds for 25 yards?
Yeah, which would be about right. I mean, it would be close.
Probably. Although I think we'd get gas. I think we'd get tired and slow down.
We're not going to get tired on a 65-yard run.
I'm not saying you're going to stop and have to kneel over. I'm just saying I think we're going to reach our top speed around yard 25 or so.
we got to test this somehow.
We got a flat road right in front of us.
I think that seems dangerous.
That road
is uphill.
Well, what? Not. I wouldn't say 60 yards into it. We'll run downhill.
then we can definitely make it.
We'll run downhill.
Actually,
a bit.
Downhill scares me a lot more because I'd get momentum and then rip a ACL out.
I've always been terrified of running on roads, sprinting
because of the cars.
No, because of the Garth Brooks video standing outside the fire and that guy falls on the track and he gets all bloodied up. I'm just like, that would be me. I would trip and fall.
I just kind of tend to worry about the
cars. I'm not worried about the cars. We're not on like some busy highway.
I mean,
the cars are going to see us coming. We have a stop sign and then like a stop sign. Like there's no, it's not like people are going to be just flying.
I mean, if we did it on I-40, it would be
and quite frankly,
flat.
If you're up to where you're running 65 yards in 10 seconds, you'll probably hurt the car worse than it'll hurt you.
It's like hitting a water buffalo. Yeah. Total somebody's car.
Now, maybe we're into a different whole lot because we're worried about insurance purposes and stuff like that, but
yeah, Nate's listening to this, and he's terrified that we're going
to we have to run officially as independent members of society, not members of Fox Sports Knoxville.
We are independent runners.
Yes. We are not doing this for a radio bit, although we are doing it for a radio bit.
I think I could beat you in 60 yards.
I don't think you would.
I think I could.
Let's go race at this commercial break.
Where?
In the road!
Nah, I feel like I'll get out of breath. We've got to wait till after the show.
Yeah, I probably need to use the bathroom and stretch anyways.
Yeah, me too. Got to stretch out the old quads. I think the last time I ran was probably 2011.
I feel like you're romanticizing your speed.
Romanticizing my speed?
I think you think you're faster than you are.
Yeah.
I think you're romanticizing it.
Oh, no, I'm pretty athletic.
Did you see this tweet from Dan Walk in this column about Norway?
Yeah.
Norway is crushing everyone at these Olympics. Why a cultural quirk, they don't let their kids keep score, may be key to their athletic glory. So he's in favor of the let's quit keeping score for kids, essentially.
Of course he is.
Via that headline. I mean, it could have to do with the fact that they're just probably practicing for Winter Olympics year-round.
Yeah, and they have no summer months to do anything better.
They won 4 medals in the Summer Olympics. 4. four bronzes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so I don't think that they're not keeping score helped them at all in the Summer Olympics.
Maybe they're just Norwegian and they're used to winter sports.
I think that might be it.
Seems more likely.
We're not a gorilla beating its chest, said the Norwegian Olympic Committee's director of elite sports. We know it could change quickly and have to work hard. Dan Walken writes that from an American perspective, Norway is kicking our red, white, and blue rear ends here in Pyeongchang, and we're not the only ones. Says Norway has the same population as its Detroit metropolitan area.
I imagine people in Norway being very nice, kind of like Canadians.
Yeah, I think that's accurate.
Now we have 26, and that's historically our best medal count.
They have 26?
Yeah, they're going for 30. That's their goal this year.
Only 9 gold medals? Who has the most gold medals? Them? You know?
No.
Okay.
I know they have overall and they have the most gold.
Because they don't keep score.
I've always been in favor of keeping score. I think it provides a great life lessons when you lose.
Dan Walken says, unlike the U.S. where we keep score of everything all the time, Norway puts kids in sports but doesn't let them keep score until age 13. The idea is to make sports part of their social development so that the motivation to stay strong, to stay involved, is to have fun with their friends, not winning.
I think winning's huge. I think it's good to be told you're a loser from time to time. You know what I mean? Like when you lose.
When you're that age, though? When you're before the age of
13? Yeah, I think.
Because they say at age 13, they'll introduce the score.
I think it does a lot for you as a kid. You're a loser, Cody. You'll never be good at this. It provides motivation.
I mean, obviously, I kind of agree with that. Obviously, you know, I'm very much in favor of the keep score all the time kind of thing. Growing up, very competitive. Like anything I ever did, sports, video games,
always
anything was to be better than whoever I was doing it with.
Yeah, me too. I had stepbrothers. It was always a competition, everything. Now, maybe there is a prime age. Like maybe when you're 6, it's a little different than when you're 12, you know. But
I don't know. I remember being 6 and like being obsessed with the score, like whenever we'd play football, like this is peak, like bragging about past accomplishments, like 6-year-old peewee football. But I remember like being devastated because like our goal for the year was to not let the other team score a point all year.
Yeah.
And then like when the first team finally did, like in game 6, I remember being hurt by that.
Like the 1939 Tennessee Vols.
Right. But I remember being hurt by that. But that is something that, you know, 22 years later, I do still remember that feeling when they first scored and the coach turns around and says, oh, you thought you guys were good, huh? Well, they're whipping your butt today. And I do remember that. Yeah. And I also remember that coach turning around and getting in a fight in our championship game later because they were taking it too seriously, though.
Yeah, that kind of stuff sticks with you, though.
Right, but yeah, like there was the flip side of these guys are taking the score a little too serious for 6-year-olds, and I do remember them getting in a fist fight, both of our coaches fighting each other. So, like, I remember both sides of the coin, so, like, I'm just wondering if there's anything to the idea of, like, waiting. Because I don't want to get caught in my ways, right? I do pride myself on being able to think rationally and to be swayed on my opinions. I'm not hills dug in type of guy. I feel like I do try to evolve and learn.
Oh, yeah, you have to.
Like, is age 13 better than age 6? Is it possible?
I think people are more competitive at 13 than they are 6. I think most people who are 6, I mean, you're just a little kid.
Can you grow into being more competitive, though? Because I feel like
that
people,
helps shape you for...
I feel like the people who are competitive at age 13 are also really competitive at age 6.
I don't know.
Do you think people flip the switch and all of a sudden they go from, well, I'm nice to, well, wait, yeah, now I want to win everything?
I mean, there's a big gap of development there between 6 and 13. Like, obviously, you're going to develop some new skills, some new habits, some new, you know, that's adolescent.
Why do we make this only about sports? Like, has there been any movement or any push for satisfactory versus unsatisfactory in school? through the age of 13? Like, is there anybody pushing for that? Because I was also motivated by getting, like, letter grades, too.
Well, a lot of people think that there shouldn't be any letter grades.
That is a thing? That is a movement that people think you should get rid of letter grades?
Yeah, because to me, a lot of people will say that learning is such a different that you should kids feel pressure to get grades. You know what I mean? And they have to cram for these tests and things like that. You have the standardized tests, all that kind of stuff, where and a lot of people question, do they really learn anything or are they just trying to retain it all for a test? Maybe it's better to not give tests, to just have satisfactory or unsatisfactory and actually teach and they actually learn and it's more of a less pressure in the situation. That's a different kind of style, I think.
So there is that pressure. Oh, yeah. There is that movement then.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Because I always hear it with sports and, like, participation trophies, right? Like, one of the hot topic issues that you can always go to in the summer when people don't want to have to change things to talk about, they just go with participation trophy culture.
Right.
And we just rant on that. And trophy's bad.
I love summer shows.
I always hear that, like, when it comes to sports, I guess a conversation about...
I think
letter grades.
I think it's a similar conversation in education as it is in sports, you know? I mean, I've heard it. Like, I've heard people talk like that. Like, I mean, talking about these other countries, like Norway, Denmark, I know a lot of those European countries over there, kind of Eastern Europe, are, I believe they kind of pride themselves on their, it's an education system similar to that.
Last call on the other side. We'll pump the brakes or keep rolling. It's Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. Sometimes it's just a good old solid above average B.
I mean, I can't think of anything that would give it a B plus over a B.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I went B.
Maybe it's a B.
Now maybe we can give us a plus right here if we have a good pump the brakes or keep rolling.
Well, I got a pretty good start.
All right, let's go. I'm going to trust you.
Woman.
Stop.
Thank you. This would be a great opportunity for me to read one of my old stories you skipped on, but I won't. Woman tells Kentucky police she's Mother Mary. A woman who led police on a chase told arresting officers she was Mother Mary en route to pick up baby Jesus, and she had permission from God to speed. WDRB-TV in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, cited an arrest report saying a Kentucky trooper attempted to pull over 52-year-old Connie Allen of Tennessee. Wow, didn't realize there was a local connection here.
Oh, no.
This was on Saturday. Apparently, she ignored him. A high-speed chase ensued. Another trooper was eventually able to pull in front of her, forcing her to stop. He approached her car with his weapon drawn, but she refused to get out and show her hands. Sounds pretty dangerous. The report says she became compliant when he hit her window with a police baton.
Yeah.
She also told police she had died 5 years ago. She is charged with several offenses.
She messed it up there.
That she had died 5 years
ago?
Yeah,
she messed it up. She messed it up. She should have stayed with the Jesus and Mother Mary thing. Because, like, if you're the cop, you got to say, well, maybe. Maybe.
Do you?
I think you do. You can't risk being struck down by stopping Mother Mary at that point. But once she said she died 5 years ago, like, okay, this woman's out of her mind.
Charged with several offenses, unclear whether she has a lawyer. Of those offenses, I would say she should plead insanity.
Well, that also was on the table before she said she was dead. I just feel like she might have gotten off. She's like, I'm Mother Mary, trust me.
I feel like that helps with her insanity plea.
I think she already had it kind of hit with the first part of it, too.
I died 5 years ago.
Well, yeah. I mean, it does make her seem more crazy, less believable. I think she could have played and straddled the fence and done both if she just would have left it off.
How easy is it to get off if you just act insane? I mean, because I could think of a lot of things to say. Just act totally wacko.
Well, then like you have to go through some like real... heavy counseling and like evaluations, which might not be worth the time.
I don't know. Might do some good.
Touché.
Never know.
Stacked Hall of Fame class for basketball. This is how you know you're getting old, when you vividly remember all of the players playing. Like when you caught a lot of all of the players' careers. Two-time NBA champion Ray Allen maybe hit the best shot in NBA history, at least one of the five best shots in NBA history. We've already went over that shot. Bang! Ray Allen, two-time NCAA champion Grant Hill. Grant Hill probably more decorated for his college career, but did go on to have a good NBA career. Would have been a lot of people feel like it would have been a great NBA career had he not been so injured. 10-time All-Star and champion, recently fired from his head coaching position, Jason Kidd. 2-time MVP, Steve Nash. Then 3-time Olympic gold medalist Katie Smith, and 4-time WNBA champion Tina Thompson. I don't know them. I don't know them. But Jason Kidd, Ray Allen, Grant Hill, and Steve Nash. Obviously, you remember a good portion of their class. Also, Chris Webber. Chris Webber gets in as well. If there was something to argue about, maybe if there is something to argue from the class, it probably. But it got vacated, all the stuff that he did. And the NBA was what some people couldn't stay healthy. But he gets in. He gets in.
Going bankrupt.
I'm Michael Jordan. Stop it. Get some help.
Gibson Guitar Company, which has been a staple brand among various musical instruments since 1902, of course famous for the Les Paul guitar, is looking at bankruptcy. According to the Nashville Post, their chief financial officer, Bill Lawrence, left after 6 months on the job, and just as $375 million in senior secured notes mature and $145 million in bank loans become due, if they aren't refinanced by July, I have no idea what I'm reading. Anyway, apparently Gibson is going bankrupt. So that's no good.
Who is?
Gibson. They make guitars.
I don't consider that an elite company. I feel like you lied to me.
I wanted to get you to stop on it.
Yeah, I feel like you lied to me.
It's a pretty important company.
That's fine. I still feel like you lied to me. Rob Gronkowski has a new career option.
Go.
For that. Mumbai man sets world record in an eating competition. Drinks entire bottle of tomato ketchup in 25.37 seconds.
Oh my
God. To set the world record.
An entire bottle?
An entire bottle of ketchup.
Gross. You think you could do that?
No, 25 seconds. I couldn't.
You think you could do it in like a minute?
No, I couldn't. Like for what? A world record or for like $1 million? For $1 million, I'll get it down. For a world record, no.
Can you mix a little water in there?
That's a good question, because I don't know how else he would get it down.
Ugh. Just shove some fries in there with it. Make it feel right.
Yeah. He drank 95% ketchup using 396 a gram bottle using a straw. Oh, God. Oh, God. It's ruined. Oh, no.